Open your eyes and see. Could you turn, please, to Luke 8. I'm sorry. I want Luke 8. Where is it? What does Luke 8:12 say? In your Bible. Just say it out. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. Hallelujah. I'm going to start verse 4. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath, where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seeds fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up with it. Fell among thorns that did what? Grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. Come on. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." How many of you have ears to hear? Is there anyone that doesn't? So that means you should listen. The expectation is that you will listen and understand. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach others so that the scripture might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. Now listen to this carefully. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's words, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Let's look at the different types of ground. Well, before I go there, let me tell you something about seeds. There are four things about seeds that I want you to understand. One is called germination. That's when a seed finds the right conditions, say right conditions. And that's sunlight, temperature, water, and air. It breaks open and sends out a root and a green shoot. So if it can't find the right conditions, it doesn't send anything out. Then there's root growth. The root grows down to take up nutrients from the soil. And then a shoot grows up towards the sunlight to become a stem. if the first three processes happen, a seedling, the seed becomes a seedling ready to grow into a mature plant. If anything upsets that process, you don't get a seedling. You don't get a seedling, you don't get a plant. It's just that simple. Same scripture in another translation. I'm in the New Living. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. So that means God's word, the expectation is that it germinates. It has what it needs to break open, put down a root, and reach towards the stars. We say give them roots and give them wings. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. Now, think about this. Who comes to take away the seed? When does he come? That's right. You put it in the ground, he's there. How can that happen? Yeah, I always like to think how, why. Those are my two favorite questions. Whenever anything happens, I'm questioning someone. I'm like, what were you thinking? How did you think it was going to work? Why did you do that? When I do that with the children, they say, I don't know why. I said, then you're a dangerous person and need to be locked up. They look at me and say, locked up? I don't want to be locked up. Then why did you do it? Because you can't just indiscriminately do things. There has to be a reason. We can correct the reason, you'll change your action. But if we can't correct the reason, no matter what you say, you're going to do it again. But I don't know why. Well, take him away, lock him up till he figures it out. But why did can the devil come and immediately take away what was planted, and it was planted in your heart? It wasn't planted in your brain. It was planted in your heart. You want to know why I believe he comes? And he comes because he comes. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you can't stop him from coming. But you can prevent him from stealing, killing, and destroying. But to do that, two things need to be in place. Your understanding of who you are and how valuable a word is to you. I got a notice. One of my family members there was gunfire two doors down from where they lived. And naturally, he was concerned about it. But I said, in your concern, you need to understand the nature of your neighborhood and do what's necessary to change your, either change the tone and of flavor of your neighborhood. Find out if God wants you to go somewhere else. But his children are valuable to him. And where he lives is open carry. So what he wants to do is get all his children to learn how to use a firearm and keep one in the house, so if someone comes in, they can take him out. And I'm thinking that's what we need, a 10-year-old. It's better to know who you are and believe. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. They hear the message and they're excited about the message. They receive it with joy. But then cares come in. And they're reminded of things they can no longer do, can no longer have, what you're missing. And that chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Let me just back up a minute. I went ahead of myself with one. I don't want to. The first set of grounds, it says some seeds fell by the wayside. What does wayside mean? Yes, I ask questions. Anyone know what does it mean when you're on the wayside? Not on the pathway, not on the right road. You're off track. And I could put it all under one category for you. You're someplace you ought not to be. Either physically, morally, mentally, or your thought life, something is out of place, and it allows your, it puts your seed in position to be devoured, to be choked out. We said that the theme of this message was open your eyes and see. When I drive my vehicle, even driving up here, how many of you know I drive with my eyes open? I hope you do too. But even though I'm driving, well, I should say, let me put it to you this way. How many of you drive with your eyes open? How many have missed an exit or a turn?
I have.
Raise your hand. How can that happen if your eyes are open? Why can't you see? You get distracted. Either a text came in. I should say a text came in. Or you're talking hands-free on the phone. When I really need to go someplace, I don't talk to anybody on the phone. Because I've missed exits. And what did it for me was missing exit 17 on 87 North. In essence, because it's 17 miles to the exit and 17 miles back. And there's no shortcut. If I miss it, I got to stay on that road. I never looked at it that way, Lord. I become a slave to that road till it allows me to get off. Someone says to me, why don't you just back up? Yeah, put myself in more danger. Backing up at 70 miles an hour. Which is something. How many of you have practiced driving in reverse 60, 70 miles an hour? Right. But so it's possible for our eyes to be open and we miss it if we allow ourselves to get distracted. And the devil comes in with a distraction. You don't see him for who he is, and he snatches the word that was planted in your heart. It says some seeds fell on rocky ground. What are the characteristics of rocky ground? What does the scripture say about rocky ground? Hear the message, receive it with joy, but don't have any deep roots. Remember, the shoot goes, the roots go down. If it's rocky soil, it can't penetrate, so it can't get the nutrients for it needs from the ground. You can't get it. You'll survive for a little bit, but all you have is what you have. And when that's gone, because you're on the rock. Another characteristic of rocky ground, when you're on rocky ground, can you get a strong foothold? No. Why? Because it's rocky. You try and put your foot down, the rocks cause your foot to slide down. And you'll stick with it for a while, but that's when you say, you know what? Enough of this. I've had enough of this. And I'll go do something else. and that something else, I'm not going to take the time and check and see if that something else is related to the Word of God, because I've already been trying the Word of God and I keep sliding off. I'm on rocky ground. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and prosperities of this life, so they never grow into maturity. You get stuck in your customs. You get stuck. Has anybody ever felt through on a thorn bush? I didn't either. That's one thing I didn't have the privilege to enjoy. But some of my brothers did. Every now and then they were helped by me. But I know people that they got stuck in, they called them a bramble bush. All I know is I looked at it, I touched it, and saw it was prickly, and it's like, I'm staying away from that. That's a fight I can't win. But if you find yourself caught in a thorn bush, everywhere you turn, something's pulling on you. You're snagging. You pull away from one thing and you get stuck in something else. You're in a thorn on thorny ground. Distracted by what you see. And sometimes you feel in awe of its reputation. Where if it's in front of you, even though you can probably get around it, you don't want to go near it because you know what it can do. How many people have been bitten by a lion? A lion. Why are people deathly afraid of lions? Because of their reputation. That's very good. It looks like it'll hurt. But everyone goes off of something's reputation is. When I played basketball, I didn't care about the record of our competition. It didn't matter. So you need to know what their record, why? Well, because they're undefeated, well, we might as well not even play the game. You know what undefeated meant to us? That you hadn't played us yet. And it seems like you can't get out. And because you get frustrated, then it feels like you can't breathe. There's been a situation where you feel like it's just taking your breath away. You can't get air, you can't get sun. Every time you move, you get stuck by a thorn. And you just say, oh, well, I guess this is my lot in life. No. But then you have good ground. And let me tell you something about good ground that we don't talk about. We talk about the wayside, stony ground. Talk about thorny ground. What we don't talk about is realizing if we know who we are and our eyes open and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm in stony ground. You'll see the way out. Because even though you missed it, as the psalm says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So it's like, Lord, ouch, I'm surrounded by thorns here. Somewhere along the line, I missed it. Show me how to get out. But there's something you have to do to take that position. And that's the main thing I wanted to convey today. I'm not going to repeat it. I already told you about me and what I did to become a basketball player. all I'm going to say today is the reason I did it is because I saw it as being valuable to what I wanted to accomplish. So I didn't care what I had to do to get to that level. I didn't care what the cost was to get to that level because it was valuable. You understand? I had to do it. And it wasn't even for a good reason. It was for an I'll show them was the reason. The reason was revenge. It wasn't motivated by love. I was motivated by revenge. That revenge took 3 years out of my life because I didn't do anything except focus on that. And it changed the entire course of my life. The only thing I wanted to germinate was skills. I wasn't thinking about Jesus, didn't care about Jesus. Wasn't thinking church, was thinking game, thinking revenge, thinking Thomas Edison High School's got to fall. That's all I was thinking about. That dominated my thoughts. And I didn't let anything get in the way of my routine to get better, to get my body in shape to play, specifically to play the position that I knew I was going to have to play. What is our attitude about this word? How valuable, or I should say, what type of value do we place on it that will endure whatever it takes to become good ground? So when I hear the word, it germinates, it grows, and I mature. I can't place a value on the word for you. I can only place it on the word for me. You have to make a choice as to how valuable it is to you. And as you do that, you're going to start to see the world based on your value system. If you're on Rocky Road, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, not what my desire is. So if I stick with thy word, I'll always be on the right path. I will always see where I'm going because it's a lamp unto my feet. And it's hot off the presses. It said, lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. The pathway is illumined. That helps me to a degree. Because if the pathway is illumined and I'm going over here, that won't make a difference. But it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path, so it lights the path. And it also lights my feet so I can see where I am on the path. If I'm walking and I'm not paying attention and I check where I'm at and I say, whoa, let me get back over here. Because just like when I missed the exit, I had to go all the way to the next exit and come back. Spiritually, the same thing happens. You go through stuff because of choices you make, but you have to go right back to where you got off the path and get back on. Sometimes it takes long. Sometimes it's not as long. But everybody has to go through it. This is what our responsibility is in Colossians 3. The Amplified Classic Bible. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, And as you sing psalms and spiritual hymns and songs and make melody in your heart with his grace in your heart. 2 Timothy says, study. Well, do me a favor, go back to Colossians 3. What's the first word in Colossians 3:16? Just call it out. Let. What does that mean? You have a choice. It doesn't mean that God is going to hold you down and pour the word in you. It doesn't mean that he's going to open your chest and the words in there, let me get it all mixed up into their being. No, he's telling us something. Let the word spoken by Christ have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you. You have to let it happen. The word can be spoken to you and you can close the door. I don't want it in here. So it reminds us we have a responsibility. We have to let the word have its home in our hearts and minds. Now we can go to 2 Timothy. Still in the Amplified Classic. What's the first word in verse 15? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study. More work. Why can't he just open my brain and pour it in? I mean, he's God. Why can't he? He just spoke. He said, I'll decree a thing, so decree that I got it. No, I have a responsibility. I have to study. And I can't just, let me study this word. It says, and be eager. That means I have, not only do I have to study, I have to want to study. Why? Because if I don't want to, guess what? I won't. And neither will you. My mother had a term. She said, did you mop the floor? I said, yes, mommy, I mopped the floor. She gonna check. No, you mopped at it. Said, now mop it again, and this time let the mop actually touch the floor. And she said, if you don't get it right this time, did you go and picked up a toothbrush? I swear she should have been a Marine drill sergeant. and a little rag and a bucket. Either do it right with the mop, or use a toothbrush. I used the mop. I decided to become very adept in mopping floors. I was eager to learn because I thought about the alternatives to not learning. It says, do your utmost. That means I can't give a half-hearted effort. I have to give all of me. To present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. That means I have to go through stuff happening to me. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling, and skillfully teaching the word of truth. I have to study, want to study, and do it the best that I can. Verse 16 said, but avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Stop getting into arguments about politics and stuff that doesn't really matter. All that does is change your attitude and opinion about the individual you're talking to. And often it's another believer. And so now we start questioning people's their spirituality. How can you be a Christian and vote for this? How can? Ain't none of your business. Your business is your vote. That's your business. Your business is finding out from God who deserves my vote. And then that's what you do. Yeah, you can know the platforms. I studied platforms once. Well, actually, twice. The first time I studied platforms, I'm like, I'm going into the voting booth, and I'm going to let the Holy Ghost direct my hands. So I flippantly walk into the voting booth, and they close the door, like, okay, Lord, who deserves my vote? And no exaggeration, as my hand was moving, I said, oh, no! And the attendant was like, sir, is everything okay? So you got to watch it, because when you say stuff like that, it didn't mean it. It works. I did. I said, oh, no, and put my hand back. Mary, you said you were going to let me guide your hand. That's okay. Go ahead, Lord. Use my words against me. It was like, all right, flip, flip, flip. And then the last time was 16 years ago, almost 20 years ago, because of all of the controversy, I wanted to find out what the platforms stood for. And when I found out, I shared it with the congregation. I said, which is basically all I'm going to say about the election process this year, this is the Republican platform. This is the Democratic platform. This is what God says. You need to find out which one lines up with what God said, and don't let that be your only criteria. You still have to go to God and say, God, this is what I know goes against your word. I mean, this goes, your word is in line with. This is not. What do you want me to do? You may think, well, what does it matter? God knows that this person may have this belief now, but 2 years in, they're going to change.
Bless you.
We don't know that. But we have to, if we studied the word, we would see it. The Apostle Paul. He had a whole different view. Caused a lot of people to lose their lives violently. But he had a moment with God on the road to Damascus and changed his entire outlook. I don't know about all of you, but I'm glad that he changed and wrote the things in his book that God had him write. 2/3 of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul, who was trying to wipe out the church. So there was a term. I've been sharing this a lot lately. Something I thought I'd never share in church. When I was in sales, went through sales training, they said, Greg, there's one saying that we want you to always remember. No matter what happens or what you go through, you always have to remember this. If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with BS. Some of us have been baffled. You don't want to be dazzled by their brilliance. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. Study, be eager, do your utmost. Avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Psalm 119, your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then the last two, Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Not for 10 minutes when you wake up in the morning. Meditate on it all through the day and all through the night. You're basking in it. Why? It's going to identify, or I should say it this way, it's working your ground. Where it was thorns, rocks, off the beaten path, it's all getting straightened out so that you can stay on it, so that you can grow on it, so that you can see it. Remember, this is God's path? No, this isn't God's path. This is the right way. This is right. This feels right. There's something not right about this over here. You want to be in a position where your eyes are open and you are seeing things clearly. Clearly. It doesn't matter what's going on. Last couple of weeks, I had what I called a demon eye. Because of my eye had a reaction to an injection, and it was blood red. Yet, regardless of how it looked, I could see out of it clearly. And that taught me a spiritual lesson. Doesn't matter how cloudy things may look, I will always see clearly. And then after a while, the eye started lining up with what I was believing, and it cleared up. I show you, if I showed you a picture, you'd jump up and run out of the room. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. How do I get it from a lot of time to no time? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely. Then you shall deal wisely and have good success. But who's going to make your way prosperous? You. Stop waiting for God to do what he ordained you to do. But I'm not prospering. Then, if the scripture says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, and because of that you'll prosper, if you're not prospering, you need to check what's coming out of your mouth. In Psalm 1, good place to unhook. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man or woman who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight, for her delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts and instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. And you want to meditate on that because of Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing. This is the easy to read version. Faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes from the preaching of the message that comes from the lips of Christ the Messiah himself. So we want to meditate on everything that Jesus said and don't even pay attention to anything the devil said. Unless you want to use the devil's word to support what Christ said. Well, how do you do that? Well, you know he's a liar. He tells you there ain't no way. You know there's a way. Says you're not going to make it, you know you're going to make it. You can't do it, you know you can do it. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You know that also. You once was blind, but now another song from my youth. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all things. So you can look at it and you see, I know what you really are. And folks, when something reveals what it is, believe it. How many of you know the story of the little girl and the rattlesnake? Anyone ever heard that? Just one? The little girl was walking up a path, and she heard this little weak hiss, and she looked, and it was a snake. And the snake looked at her and said, "It's so cold, I'm about to die. Please carry me up." I'm giving you the quick version. And the little girl said, "I know what you are. You're a rattlesnake. And if I pick you up, you'll bite me, and your bite is poisonous." Snake said, "I'd never bite you. If you help me, I'll be so grateful, I'll never harm you." And little girl, she looked at it and looked at the colors, how beautiful the snake looked, and figured it's one of God's creatures, and all God's creatures deserve to live. So she picked the snake up, bundled it, and took one step, and the snake bit her. And she dropped it, and she said, "You said if I helped you, you wouldn't bite me." He said, "You knew what I was when you picked me up." She saw, but would not see. She didn't see it for what it really was. That's why there's a difference between knowing. You know it, but you haven't considered it. Knowing something, I know this chair exists. I'm tired. Do I consider, yes, this chair exists. Can it hold me? Is it what I need to rest? What is it about this chair is so appealing? You consider things, folks. Don't just make it because they'll never do anything to harm me. Oh, really? Do you know that for sure? Have you considered that maybe they're not showing you? I told my daughter, I'll say this and I'm going to quit. My daughter wanted me to meet this guy. And I'm the typical dad. No guy is good enough for my daughter. That's just the way it is. I don't just dash out blessings. No, you have to earn. And she was getting frustrated. She said, "But I know you'd like him." Why? "Because he's really nice." I said to her, "Sweetheart, Jeffrey Dahmer was nice." He said, "Jeffrey Dahmer? He's not Jeffrey Dahmer. You don't know that." Jeffrey Dahmer didn't go and say, "I'm going to take you out to dinner, but you're going to be the dinner." Because if he did that, no one would go with him. Of course he's going to say all the right things. This is graphic enough again. I said, don't give him anything. Because every person has a predetermined amount of time they're willing to invest before they start expecting a return on their investment. So I said, "So you just wait. We'll see if he's really nice." Well, 2 years later, he came over and asked for permission to ask her to marry, to ask for a hand in marriage. And me being me, what do you think the first question I asked him was? Well, what did I tell you earlier? Why? Why do you want to marry her? And it stunned him. He looked, but he recovered quickly, and they've been married 21 years. Wow. So I take time to find out. Your eyes are open, and they're open so you can see. Father, we thank you for the words you share with us this morning. We thank you, Father, that everyone understood what you were saying to us. And you, via your Holy Ghost, will show them how that incorporates into their life. And while we know, Father, that we're going to miss it, as we sang earlier, your loving kindness is great towards us. Your mercy is great towards us. New every morning, great is your faithfulness. So you know that when we do miss it, we don't have to stay away from you. We can always come back. and you will never hold it against us. So we thank you, Lord, as we learn more and more about who we are, may it radiate from us and affect the world, where they'll want to come because they just see something different about us. Thank you, Father, that we continue to spread love among one another. We are the Redeeming Love Christian Center. We are the place where your love is evident, your word is taught, your spirit is directed, and your power is manifested. And we had a sampling of all of that today, and we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.